Everybody's dead, say praise the Lord. Well, we got a couple tonight's already passed out. Last month I had the honor of doing something I've always wanted to do all my life. I worked in a funeral home couple of weeks ago in Statesboro, Georgia, where we're now in our 9th week of revival. 9 weeks. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't get a seat. And if you come late, the highway patrolman just direct you on down the highway. So a Baptist started a revival down the highway, get the rest of our crowd that we don't have. Well, that's great. But I wish God would do that for Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church in the city of Houston, Texas. That would make me so happy for revival to break out in your church that you couldn't get in here coming late. And all you folks sitting in the rear, would put you out in the gymnasium where it's hot because you weren't here early. It's so good to see so many of our good friends tonight in the audience. I just met a lady, Molly Swanson, who is one of my little sweethearts in Jesus, out in the parking lot. And a lot of you got saved or got delivered or healed when I had the greatest revival to ever hit the city of Houston. It's gone down in history. At Adventist Temple, we were there, was it 11 weeks? What a revival it was. It was a great, great revival. And that's the kind of revival we're having in Statesboro, Georgia. In fact, Saturday a week ago in the newspaper, the front page said the greatest revival in the history of South Georgia is taking place in Statesboro. We had over 70 families, not people, but 70 husbands and wives, families, to join the church the last Sunday morning I was there. Wouldn't you love to have 70 new families in this church? You could pay for a full-time gardener here at the church. Amen. But we're having revival. They won't quit. You say, Brother Walker, why are you here? Because Brother Freddie Bailey called me and he said, Brother Walker, do you have a date? And I said, not really, but let me look. Next weekend, I'm preaching a world convention in Dallas. And next week, I go to New Liberia, Louisiana for a convention. And you can't cancel conventions because if you do, you're in trouble. So we worked around it. I'm going right back to Statesboro for the 10th and 11th week of Crusade. But when Brother Freddie B. called me, I said, well, I know that pastor from 100 years ago. Somewhere down the road, that's when I was engaged to one of the prettiest girls that ever lived on the face of the earth, and nobody could play the piano or sing like Jeannie Alcorn. I tell you, she was awesome. I'm so glad she got somebody else. But anyway, it's wonderful to meet old friends like the pastor. And then I see my friends all over the audience. Glad to have my personal secretary in the audience tonight. And as I was motoring to church on Beltline 8, I kept looking at the map that she drew out for me. And I thought, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that place or not, because this place is hard to find. And everybody said, amen. But I'm glad we found it. And I said, as I looked at the map, I think she's got me going the wrong direction. But she said to me on the map, look for yellow caterpillars. Those are not caterpillars, honey. Those are steam shovels. There's a difference. But I realized what it was, and somebody put out some signs along the road you're not supposed to put out. But what do they call them signs that we do, people in real estate put them out? You're not supposed to put them out because it's against the law. Bandit signs. So whoever gets those, get them picking up tonight after church and put them back in the office. And the pastor will get up the next Monday or Sunday morning at 4 o'clock and put them back out. I'm not going to preach a regular sermon, I don't think, because I am so full of what's going on in Georgia that I haven't been very much earthy lately, because I'm seeing things I have never seen in my life. As I was driving, trying to find the church, I thought of my father when I was a little boy. My father was a presbyter of the West Texas District of the Assemblies of God, pastored First Assembly in Lubbock. And one Monday night, I went with him to... Years ago, we had what? Do y'all remember when we used to have fellowship meetings? Weren't they dull? Oh, they were horrible. And I had to go with my daddy to these fellowship meetings because I would lead worship or I'd preach, and I was just a child, of course. And we went to a little town called Needmore, Texas. Now, if you don't know where that is, don't even make it a thought in your mind. Just drop it. For Needmore is not important to know about where it is. But it's out there in the middle of nowhere. It's out there close to No Tree, Texas. And my dad was driving, and I was standing beside him in the front seat of the car, and he said, "I can't find the church." I said, "Daddy, zip the window down and listen." And did you know we zipped the windows down and we heard the Needmore Assembly of God Church singing and a shouting? And we went to church that night by hearing, not feeling or seeing. Tonight I didn't come here by hearing or seeing. I came here by faith. And we made it. I'm so glad Freddie Bailey's here. Let me tell you about Freddie B. He has been one of my dearest friends for 26 years, 27 years almost. And he and Beverly have always been the same. I've often wondered how Freddie ever got that pretty woman for a wife. I don't know how he did, because Freddie didn't used to be good looking. But I think married to Bev has really made him better looking. Don't you, Freddie Jr.? It's helped the old man. But I love for him to sing. We were down at First Assembly in Laredo not long ago. And he sang every night for the crusade. And he was such a blessing. And I didn't even know he could sing. And he didn't either till one day he turned on KFFF or whatever it is on the radio here in town and began to sing with the other hillbillies, and he's been singing ever since. And you did all right, Brother Freddie B. Let us stand for the reading of the Word. What's your first name? What's your second name? Do y'all know this is Charles Baker? This is one great man. And he's got one of the sweetest girls. How'd you ever get her? Well, you ought to. I saw you on the television the other night. You were at the home church, Brother Osteen's. I saw you in the crowd. And I said, "I know that bird. The FBI is looking for him, I'm sure as the world." But it's good to see you, Charles. We love you. Amen. I'm going to read from God's Word in this marvelous book of John. That's not I, John. It's just plain John. And turn down to the 7th chapter and the 37th verse, and I'm going to read to you a very exciting time in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the last day of the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said out loud with a voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this he meant the Spirit of the living God, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to the time of the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." And others said, "He is the Christ." Father, I thank you for what you have asked heaven to send on this Sunday evening in this lovely church. Father, we're believing that on this occasion that none of us are here by chance, but we're here by the divine perfect will of the Father. Now, Father, speak to our hearts. If there be any spirit in this house that is not a God spirit, that spirit and all of its companions are now bound. Only your spirit is welcomed in this house, and we thank you. And we praise you for the honor of being your servant. Save the lost. Reclaim the backslider. Encourage the discouraged. And may this be a night that we shall never forget. For we ask in the names of that blessed Holy Trinity, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all of God's sweet children said together, amen and amen. Be seated, please. Girls, it's so good to see you. Bless you. Before I begin tonight, a lot of you are here from Lyndale Assembly of God, which is one of my favorite churches. And you used to have a pastor named Brother McKeehan. And Brother McKeehan pastored that church 64 years. And I was his favorite evangelist. And he loved me better than homemade apple pie. Of course, his wife is kinfolks to my mother's side of the Walker family. I mean the Walker family. She was a Walker. My father's side, I should say. And it's so good to see y'all tonight from Lyndale. The pastor keeps saying he's going to have me, but he's lost my telephone number. So y'all need to deal with him. Because I'd love to come back to Lyndale. Want to come back here? I don't worry. Just wherever God wants me to be, that's where I want to be. Amen. Never in the history of the world has the church been at a crossroads like she is right now. There's something going on that I do not comprehend. I never dreamed that I would live to the day and the hour that I could preach in an Assembly of God church and people would be dying spiritually on the pews. I never dreamed I would live a day that my great church that I was born, I was conceived in an Assembly of God Parsonage. I was born in an Assembly of God Parsonage. But I want you to know, I never dreamed that I would ever go to church in the church and sin could sit on our pews and have real remorse. Say amen. And it's amazing how much sin has got into the church. But I truthfully believe that we leaders are responsible. And I told Brother Trask this. I preached Brother Trask an 11-week meeting in Detroit, Michigan. And I said it to him, and I'll say it again. We as ministers have kept you on a diet that didn't work. It looked good. It sounded good. It was doctoring right. It was spiritually right. But we didn't give you enough of the proteins, enough of the things that built bones. And you became weary in well-doing. I find the church tonight in a very crucial hour. The other evening, one very prominent pastor, I think he pastors the third largest Assembly of God church in the world, made the statement to me, Dr. Walker, I want to ask you a question. Do you think there's any hope for the church? The hope that I have is this. All you that labor and are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And I will give you rest. Come to me and I'll feed you, and no way will I cast you out. For you that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, pressed down, shaken together, and running. That's God's word, not my words. But church, we're not where we ought to be. And you all know it. You won't say amen, but that's all right. But I got news for you. If some horrible epidemic broke out in the city of Houston, you could fill this auditorium in 2 days by a miracle of healing, by people being born again, by people receiving salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It would be awesome. The other evening, I was so amused. In fact, I had to really get my mind deep on God because I got tickled. And sometime, you know, I don't want to get tickled and be out of order. I believe in laughter, but there's a proper time for that too. Two sheriff's deputies walk into the auditorium. And the church I'm in is a big church with a center aisle right down the middle. It's called a wedding church, a funeral church. Anytime you got a center aisle, you have good weddings and good funerals. When you got aisles like this, weddings come in this way and go out another. And God's against that. He wants you to go out the same way you come in. Hallelujah. But anyway, here are these two deputies who slipped off the parking lot wearing their guns and their billy club and their radio here on their lapel. And they were on duty. And they came in the auditorium, and I stepped off the platform, and I was walking down the center aisle, and I got about 10 feet from them, and both of them were slaying the spirit forward, not backwards. And I looked in there, those guns lay on the floor, those billy clubs lay on the floor, and did you know they had to load them in the cars and take them home, and they docked them 3 hours on their payroll check for being in church. But I said to one of them, I said, Harold, I want to ask you why you came. He said, it was not curiosity. I wasn't being nosy. I've never been in a Pentecostal church. But as I stood on the parking lot of this church for the last 3 weeks, I could feel something that I want to go get a little closer to it. And when I came in, it hit me. He said, just before it hit me, he said, Lord, save me right here. And said, I don't know how come I'm laying in the floor and carried out. Glad tidings. You do not need a building program. You do not need a steeple or a parking lot. You need for the power of God to come back to your church where the hungry and the thirsty and the dying and the lonely and the brokenhearted can be filled with the goodness of and the power of the Almighty God. Thirsty. Thirst is horrible. Thirst is horrible. I have a nephew that's a doctor in Dallas. And he told me a story the other day that really frightened me. He said a patient came in. It was not in his clinic or his hospital, but another hospital somewhere. And she was having facelift and all body rebuild. And all of a sudden, the anesthesiologist gave her, in the time of many hours of surgery, gave her 30 bottles, 8 ounces of some kind of fluid, and she died. She drowned in her own heart, life. Of course, they're being sued tremendously. But wouldn't it be wonderful when we come to the door that we could lose the care of life, we could lose the worry about Houston, worry about our job, worry about our family, because we were in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He was here to supply our needs according to His riches in glory. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, these are the last earthly words that Christ said. He's saying, if you're hungry and thirsty, I've got the answer. When you come to me and give your life to me, you will have no more weariness. Now, that's the way God wanted to be. But we have farmed around till we've lost what God gave the church. We've traded it for a program. Say amen. In just a few days, the Assemblies of God are having a meeting. And my main squeeze is going to be there for a speaker. And they're trying to figure out what can we do to bring revival to the church. I can tell you that without going to Springfield, the Vatican. I can tell you that. It's by some of you old bald-headed men getting down to church every day on your knees and saying, God, glad tidings needs a revival. We have empty pews, God. We have an empty choir loft. God, we need a revival. Revival does not come when everybody's shouting. Revival comes up when men are bombarding glory and saying, God, I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your grace. God, send revival to our church and bring the young people back that used to be in the house of God. Hunger. Hunger is a strange thing. I have it 3 times a day. It hits me right smack dab in the face. And I found out Friday I'm overweight and it's about to kill me. They changed the weight. You are too, brother. Don't laugh at me. Did you know they changed the weight thing? My body was perfect for the thing. But they changed the weight deal. How many of y'all know they changed the weight? Just made me tired when I read it in the paper. I thought, here I've been working on a perfect body of 33 waist and I'm 4 pounds overweight. My God, what am I going to do? Do I have a witness? But there's one thing about the church. It's not overweight. It's underweight. Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear me and believe me later. There's no place on earth that I know about, and I travel around the earth. In just a few days, we're traveling to Africa for 5 weeks to great, great revivals in Cape Town and Durban. Thousands and thousands of people come to those crusades. They're literally unbelievable. But let me tell you something. There is not one church. Now that's a broad statement. Say it with me. Not one church. Say it with me. If you got a mouth, say it with me. Not one church. You got that down? How many churches? Not one. There's not one church in the city of Houston that's meeting the spiritual hunger of our community. Can I have an amen anywhere? That's not putting anybody down. It tells you how urgent we are. We are hungry. Where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where is the God of Israel that can bring a revival once again to the house of God? He's where he's always been. It's his people out farming around. They're doing everything in the book except being in the house of God. Our churches today have become nothing more than entertainment centers. Say amen. And to draw a crowd, you got to be an ex-movie star that couldn't make it in Hollywood, and you got saved in Nashville, and you get on the circuit, and you go through church to church. Say amen. If you don't have a long hair and permanent, you're not invited. So I'll never be invited. Where I come from, boys don't have that, and these are the glory to God. But anyway, I got news for you. We need a revival. And we need the kind of revival that fills up these three pews. Do I have a witness? We need a revival that'll fill up the pew by Papa and Mama sitting there. And wouldn't it be great, once again, that you could come to church and sit hip to hip next to your brothers and sisters? Some of y'all haven't been that close to your wife in years. But wouldn't it be great to have a crowd so big that you had to move over and you was cheek to cheek, side by side. Every once in a while you put your arm around and pat on the shoulder. But where is that revival? I truthfully believe, Charles, as sure as you're sitting there, that at this very moment God is looking for a remnant of people. It doesn't matter if it's two or three. It doesn't matter if it's 3,000 or 4,000. To say they're hungry for my spirit, and I shall fill them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hunger. How many of you have ever been hungry in this audience? Let me see your right hand. My youngest little boy is the cutest thing that's... I think he's the cutest thing that's ever been born. He's honestly so much full of love that he just has to be loved all the time. And his name is Nicholas. He's the prettiest little boy anybody ever have in this world. I'm so proud of him. His older brother's 12. His name is Zach. And they both have the food ministry. How many know what that is? And being preacher's kids, that comes automatic. When you're a preacher's kid, you go to everybody's house to eat and then enjoy dessert. We're spoiled rotten. I don't mean I'm rotten. I don't even want anybody to pray for me about my being rotten. I'm rotten. You don't believe it? Ask my secretary sitting there. My birthday's this coming Saturday too, and don't you forget it, girls. But my boys are foodaholics. And they love to eat. And just before I came to church tonight, I was on the telephone, and both of them were nagging me because it was 5 minutes to 5. And I am such a good master, a good father, that I feed my children exactly 5 o'clock on the dot. Not 5 after 5, 5 before 5, 5 o'clock. And they know what time it is for din-din. And all of a sudden, I was busy talking on the phone to a preacher who's in trouble, who isn't. And all of a sudden, Nicholas sat down and went, woof! Woof! Woof, 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 woof! I said, Nicholas, I'm on the phone. Children be seen and not heard. Hush! That child wasn't going to stop till I got up and got their food out and put it in the dining room in their beautiful little bowls. And before I got through with the conversation, the bowls were cleared out, licked, and the second was, we're going out to the garden. Dogs, you call them. Don't criticize me for liking my dogs. You see, you don't know the Bible when you do. It shows your ignorance. Read the Bible. The Bible said a good prophet loveth his dogs or beasts. And I love my two boys. I knew that sort of bothering you there, so I cleared up that they're D-O-G's, but they don't know it. They have no idea they're dogs. But anyway, I looked at that little Nicholas. I mean, when he got hungry, I could have been talking to God in person on the phone. But it's time for din-din, Daddy. Neighbor, it's time for din-din in the church. I'm tired of spiritual entertainment. I'm tired of red sermons. I'm weary of spiritual entertainment. We need the old-fashioned power of God back in the church where people can shout again. Do I have a witness? You know, I never dreamed I would ever get weary and long to see once again everybody with the right hand tremble. But we folks in the assembly of God have been known around the world for the right hand tremble. I don't want ever happen to the left hand, but I mean that right hand with this tremble. Oh, we had the trembling right hand. Did you know what I'm talking about? I used to invite the Catholic kids at my Catholic school and said, y'all come to our church. We've got the right hand trembles at our church. My father corrected me on that, and he said, son, you don't tell that about folks at our Assemblies of God Church. We're holy. I said, yeah, but we got one hand that works and the other don't. Do I understand that? But I'm hungry. And Pastor, you're so precious. And I'm praying for you, because Freddie B. goes here. And he is one great guy. On the board for 26 years, never given me one bit of trouble. Anytime I have something wrong with plumbing, if I'm in town or out of town or around the world somewhere, he's there. He's Johnny Everready. I would love to see this church explode, where all of your children that would come back to God and be born again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, Brother Walker, what can we do to bring revival? Well, you've got a great worship leader. I thought he did extremely well. The first one wasn't bad either, but he played the trumpet in the second half. Got a great piano player. We got a concert grand over here. I believe it must be a Yamaha. We got a Hammond organ over there that's priceless, and don't let anybody try to buy it off because they are literally going up in money. Benny Hinn's been trying to find one, and, well, anyway. But I got news for you. Y'all got a great church. Haven't you got a pretty church? Visitors, isn't this a pretty church? And all the visitors said, amen. Oh boy, we got more visitors than we do saints here. But look at that beautiful Baptist strip there. I can just see myself and my two little boys sitting on that rock right there, waiting for a fish to come down through that creek. Now that's what you call a creek. Is that right? Because I used to live on one just like that in Austin, and it went right through my backyard, called Shoal Creek. Y'all got everything so beautiful. I mean, look at the prophet's chairs. Empty. Look at our Catholic Episcopal candles. Look at our beautiful communion table. This is doing remembrance of me. That's about all we got is remembrance. Now, we've got a place over here that leaks in the ceiling around a light bulb, but that's an electrician's problem. And all of our lights are burning except one right up here, and it went out before I got here. You don't need one thing as far as concerned of a building. All you need is for one more time for God to walk in your church as never before. Where the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lonely are comforted, the cold and weary are made warm, the hungry and thirsty are filled and fed, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall he give. Thirst. I hate to tell you this, but did you know that men will kill for food? Did you hear me? Freddie Jr., did you know? I know you well enough. If you got hungry enough, you'd land that double-engine Beechcraft aircraft you've got that I plead the blood over every day of my life. And you'd find something to eat if you had to land right in the middle of the highway. You'd inherit it from your daddy. He still got his problem. Hungry is very real. Brother, if you were to get hungry and your babies get hungry, you're going to do something about it, won't you? Amen. But what do we do about it spiritually? When's the last time you had an old-fashioned Pentecostal experience? The kind where you wept, the kind where you laughed, the kind where you trembled, the kind where you talked in a language that you understood not. Where are they now? Being raised in the church years ago, we had altar service every... I got saved almost every Sunday night. Had to. Being the PK, you had to get saved because all the sisters of the church were criticizing you all the time. But we don't have altar service like that years ago. A lady called me this afternoon from Avon. I call it Avine. It just sounds better than Alvin. That's where rednecks are. There are a lot of rednecks over there. They all drive pickups. And I'm thinking about moving to Alvin when I retire. But I got news for you. She said, the church you're going to, do they have altars? I said, they have altars. She said, do they pray? I said, I guess they do, because one of my friends goes there and he's saved. She said, I'm looking for a church that still has altars in the church. And pastor, they would make you some great members. They've got a lot of M-O-N-E-Y. I mean, they are blessed saints. But looking for a church that still has altars. Say amen. Thank God for these three altars, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Neighbor, at these altars, every need of your life, every need of your spirit, every need of your marriage can be met by kneeling at these old-fashioned stained altars that God can feed you that manna from heaven above. Hungry. Hungry. A moment ago, I got sidetracked for a second for a reason. But I made a statement a moment ago that I've never seen some things I've seen in the last 2 months. Never in my life. I went to Statesboro, Georgia, just to be there 1 week. And I said to my secretary on the way to the airport, I said, Lynn, I won't be home Monday. She said, what you talking about? I said, I won't be home Monday. She said, well, your ticket says you will. I said, but the ticket don't know what I know. I won't be home Monday. Now I'm 9 weeks gone. But I saw something that I think you ought to see. My doctor's wife is sitting here, Bonnie Spankus. Dr. Spankus is one of the finest medical men in the city of Houston. And when I talk about healing, it's not something, a myth or something out in the twilight zone. Healing is still real. Do I have a witness? And on the first night of the meeting, I stopped in the service, just like this, walked back in the audience to a man, just like this handsome man, and the Holy Spirit said, have him to stand. He stood in the aisle, in that center aisle where the two sheriff's department men were laying in the floor. And I said, you have been diagnosed with terminal cancer. About 6'4", healthy. I mean, not one thing in the world wrong with him. Not one thing wrong with him to look at him. But he had cancer in the lymph nodes of his body. He had just returned from Emory in Atlanta on Friday. This was a Sunday. The week before, he was up in Rochester, New York, at that great cancer hospital, which is the world's renowned. And they sent him home to die. Well, I'd never seen him before. He was from the First Baptist Church. And he heard about this young Texas evangelist. And he said, I'm going to go out and hear that young dude. And he got called out. He had never been in a Pentecostal church before. What a loss on his part. Never been in a... Wouldn't it be awful never to be in a Pentecostal church? Wouldn't that be awful? They don't know what they're missing. And I reached up to pray for him, and when I did, he went straight out on the floor. They flew him back to, what's that place up in Rochester, that famous hospital? Mayo Brothers. And when they got him to Mayo's, he went back to the same doctors, all the tests, and they cannot find one thing wrong with him. Hold it. That's wonderful. But let me finish the story. He came back to Savannah, Georgia on Friday, came back to our meeting in Statesboro on Sunday night, but on Sunday morning he went to the First Baptist Church where he was a member. His mother had been a member there 100 years. He was born in the nursery at that First Baptist Church, and he got up in the Sunday school class and began to tell them about the miracle of the healing of the cancer in his gland, and all of a sudden while he was talking, he began to talk a strange language. Now the First Baptist has got a problem. 30 of their people have joined the church. That's what we need in this church, is a revival where people come out from them cold refrigerators and deep freezer and say, "Pastor, the Lord is here. The glory is here. The power is here. The beauty is here. The miracle worker is here. I'm hungry. I'm going to enter in without having any questions. But God, I want to be fed." Hunger. Every once in a while, I have a hunger. Now, don't you tell this to anybody, because my mother and my sister just hate me for this. But every once in a while, I get hungry for Vienna sausage. Now, that's bad. I mean, Dr. Spankus, don't you tell Dr. Spankus. But every once in a while, I want a bait of Vienna sausage. Now, none of y'all are like that. You probably eat sardines. And that's worse. At least Vienna doesn't smell for 3 days. And some time ago, I came home from a crusade. And I don't know what triggered it. I do not know what triggered it. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, it hit me. I'm hungry. I thought, well, bless God, I can fix that pretty quick. I ran down the stairway. And some way, I tripped the burglar system. I don't know how I tripped it, but I tripped it. I didn't know it was going off. I didn't know they'd call the ambulance and the fire department and all the police in Sugar Land. Here I am in my kitchen, in my drawers, eating crackers and Freddie, you would have had a spell. That was the best Vienna sausage I ever ate in my life. Have you ever been so hungry that Vienna was even good? Do I have a witness anywhere? Everybody's dead, say glory. Well, a lot of folks died on me since I started. But I mean that being a sausage. Pastor, I was in my kitchen, and I had me a crackers. They must have been 10 years old. They were so stale. But I did check the can of Vienna sausage. It wasn't swollen, so I knew it was all right. And here I am at the kitchen bar, stand up there early in the morning. Wee hours and over, Zach and Nick are up, and the whole house knows that the Reverend's home. And all of a sudden, there was a tap on the patio door. And I looked, and there was a man. He had a gun. I thought, my God, what if he had shot me in this predicament? But when you get hungry, it don't matter what time of day it is. Some of you old folks eat all night long. Say amen. When you get hungry, you're going to go where the food is, brother. And that's where women learn the curse for the human race. How to make it work. Leftovers. They know if I have something left over, George will be in the kitchen before daylight in the morning, and he will eat those leftovers. Hallelujah. You talk about Brother Trotter. I preached several camp meetings with Brother Trotter years ago. He had preached the morning service, and I'd do the night services. And one time he was at my father's house, and I had opened a fresh can of dog food, and he came in the house and ate that can of dog food during the night. We didn't tell him for days. But he kept saying, "Sister Walker, that's the best food. What kind of potted meat was that?" My mother said, "Oh, just something that we got in the family. So that became a family joke. Brother Trotter had 2 sandwiches with dog food. But when you get hungry, you're going to go for it. It don't make if it's dog food or not. You ought to see what some of these Orientals are eating in these restaurants, raw. They call it fung tong pung chung chung. I don't know what the stuff is. But when folks are hungry, they eat. And then closing. I told God this afternoon in my chamber. I said, God, I love you with all my heart. I don't need to tell you that. And I love the city of Houston so much. I could live anywhere in the world. In fact, I had a family in California that was going to give me a house that was worth $1 million if I'd move out there. But I like Houston. I don't know why I like it. It's dirty. It's hot. It's muggy. You have to take 3 to 4 to 5 baths a day to be proper. I guess I like water. But I love Houston. And Pastor, you can say this with me. You'll never find greater people on earth than you do in this city. I believe that God's got some of the greatest people on earth that live in this city. I truthfully believe that with all my heart. I said that to Pastor Osteen one time and he agreed with me. Some of the greatest people on earth are right in this church right now. And I said, God, I love this town. I love this city. I love this community. But I think all of you are going to agree with us, and God knows I'm telling the truth, that we're a city that is hungry, not for a program, not for a big name that wrote a book, but we're hungry to once again feel what we felt the day we were born again. If I told the truth, would you say amen, please? Hungry. Every one of you can remember the day you got saved. I've known you 100 years, kid. I've helped raise you. I knew you before you had all these youngins and kids to worry about. Just a simple little boy. I've seen him at my altars weep and pray at Lindale. But I can tell you about him right here. Fine boy, brilliant mind, brilliant. And tonight he came to church to see Uncle B. But you know what he's really hungry for? Not to see Uncle B, because I don't ever change. I still look 35. That's what Zach told me tonight when I was coming to church. But you know what he's hungry for? He's hungry to feel what he felt at youth camp. He's hungry what we used to have in the church. But friend, you might as well admit it, we don't have it like we used to have it. And you can't blame it on a pastor. You can't blame it on a deacon board. You can't blame it on a leader in the church. You got to blame it on ourselves. It's down where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? Blame it on yourself. Well, Bill Walker, I've just about starved to death. It's your own fault. If you want a preacher to preach like a man from another world, amen him. He'll either bring heaven down or he'll ship out. I said that to a convention not long ago, and wow, the pastors had me on the parking lot of the church ready to tar and feather me. But you see, we're hungry. Marsh Sorello, I don't know if you know him or not, is a little Jewish fellow, has a horrible high-pitched voice way up here to pass concert C. I was in a meeting 2 years ago in January, and I slipped into his meeting one night, my night off in the crusade. 10,000 people were in the auditorium, and that's not pastorally speaking, that's the truth. And all of a sudden he said, "Is that Jerry B. Walker?" And I said, "Yes, it's me." He said, "Come here, I want you to address the audience." They began to applaud. I went up, gave a short little testimony, about 3.5 seconds. And after the service, he said, "Would you speak to the ministers in the morning at 10 o'clock? I said, "Pastor, I've got to get back to Palm Springs. I'm in a meeting over here in Costa Mesa area, but I could. I'll spend the night here in San Diego." So I spent the night there. Borrowed a shaver from the hotel. Next morning I went down, and Pastor, there's no greater thrill, and I hope God will give you this if he hasn't given you. I hope someday that you can preach one sermon to nothing but preachers. I mean, everybody in the audience were ordained ministers. You weren't allowed unless you were Daddy Rabbit. And I preached that morning. God really anointed. I mean, it was better than homemade soup. It was so good. And I did something, and Pastor, don't ever do this. Charles, don't you ever ask the audience. Somebody get up and ask the dumbest questions in the world. And I said, just before I close this morning, is there anybody that would like to ask Evangelist a question? And this great big fellow with a huge pulpit bumper, snow white hair, jaws down to here, had great big ears like Oral Roberts. I had great big ears. And I'm not being critical. I'm trying to make you see the man. He said, as he stood up, he had his Assembly of God pastoral voice with him that morning. And he said, Dr. Walker. I said, yes, Pastor. He said, I have known of you for about 40 years. And he pastored a big church and you know him. He said, but I would like to ask you a question. You've been very successful as an evangelist. You have the largest church crowds in the history of America. You had the longest meetings. Most people attended church revival. But this is the question I'd like to ask. The word is ask, but, you know, California, they have those accents, ask. And I said, go right ahead, Bishop, just go ahead and ask. He said, now, Brother Walker, if God were to give you a church, what kind of church would you like to pastor? I said, I'd like to be assigned to a dead one. Probably like yours. And he smiled and he said, yes. And I said, I'd like to go on a 40-day fast, water only. Start by myself, and God will bring others into fast with me. And then I would like for folks to start coming to church. I'd like about 100 lesbians. Boy, it got quiet in that convention hall. You could hear my Accutron watch going zzzz. I said, I'd like to have another 100 crookat, not crook, what do you call it? The crack, what do you call that stuff? Crick addicts. How come y'all all know about this stuff? I don't know about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had 100 crick addicts to join the, and brother, you got them in the area? And I said, I'd like to have another 100 hussies. And I'd like to have 100 hookers. Another 100 homosexuals. And he was dying. I mean, he was losing weight right there on the floor. Did he? You can see the weight just pouring off of that big pastor. And then I said, but I want them all to be born again, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry to see your children come back to God. I'm hungry to see your in-laws come back to God. The other night, I'd had a dream, and I'd been quite concerned about my pastor's daughter. She's a beautiful girl. And I called her. They don't live here in Houston anymore. They live up in the hills, I think, somewhere. And I said, Sissy, this is Jerry B. Walker. She said, I know your voice anywhere in the world. I said, Brother McKeehan was such a dynamite in my life. And all of a sudden, she said, I'm so hungry for church like it used to be. Saints, we don't have to live in the past. We can live in the present. And when I walked a moment ago through your porte-cochere out here, and I came in your lovely auditorium in your pastor's beautiful polished library, I felt the Spirit of God here. And when I walked in and y'all began to worship, Pastor, when I sat down on that mortgage pew, I hadn't been there 3 seconds till I felt the witness of the power of the Holy Spirit in this house. but some of you are not aware of it. But it's here. And all of a sudden, when our worship director, Brother Mustache, began to lead us in worship. I mean, Brother Mustache, I mean, he sang every song in the same key. I mean, it was all right. I'd have to change keys to find the right note. I just said that same note and went from the beginning to the end. I like that. The organist never got nervous the whole time she played because she had the same key. Hallelujah. But Brother Mustache, I sat here over on the seat and I said, God, put a spell on that man. God, let him get a little volume. Put some spizzorinkum in his britches, Lord. God, just let him feel something. Now, I don't know what spizzorinkum is, so don't ask me. I got that from Arkansas. That's all I know, spizzorinkum. And all of a sudden, if you've been sitting right up here where the Archbishop is sitting, all of a sudden I looked at Brother Mustache and went, glory. Something happened to him. Wouldn't it be great some night that he'd lead in worship and take off running around the auditorium, shouting, praising, magnifying God, and saying, Pastor, as I was preaching, I was singing a moment ago, I felt the Lord heal me, and my back is no longer giving me problems, my hip is no longer stiff, I've been made whole by the power of God. That's what we're hungry for, brother. And you've got it. We've got every right to talk about it. We've got every right to praise and magnify God for it. We've got it. Well, Brother Walker, we're praying for revival. We found a bandit out of Vatican, and he's got four sermons. That's the wrong man. You've got to get a man with a heart that works with your pastor's heart, and they become as one. And when the evangelist and pastor are in harmony, you'll always see signs and wonders following them that believe. Hunger. 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 I look at you handsome kids that are courting. You can tell you're courting because you look worried. And brother, I tell you, she's a pretty number. I don't know how you got her. She hadn't got mixed up with the bleach bottle yet, and I like that. But kids, you'd like to see an old-fashioned revival that you've never seen or heard of. It's only something your mom and grandpa talks about. It's coming. In closing, the first time doesn't mean one cotton-picking thing. That's a gorgeous baby. I want you to hear me. I am not a prophet. I have never met a prophet. And I desire to be a prophet. I hear a lot of men call themselves prophet and women prophetess. But that is not a self-ordination gift that we receive by ordaining ourselves. It's a gift of God, a call of God. And I think most of you agree. Some of them just make me sick. Go, oh, I'm a prophet. And they ain't no more a prophet than I'm a goose in the wind. And I know I ain't no goose. Because I can't fly unless Freddie B. Jr.'s flying me. But we need a revival. And as I was motoring to church and I came over here on Death Row, 290. And as I was going down Death Row South, I'm not going to go back that way because I have to pay a toll road two times. And that's just too expensive to go to church every night. Boy, it's lucky you don't have to spend no hotel on me or feed me. Isn't that nice? Or pay my tickets on the freeway. But this is what I told God. God, when I walk in this church, give me favor with the people who I need favor with. Because people govern a church by their spirits. And so far in 44 years, being the youngest ordained minister in America at one time, I have never bowed and bent because of some sourpuss in a church. I always ask God for favor. And when I walked through that portechere a moment ago, the Lord gave me a little something I want to share with you. You that have been fasting and praying for your church, it has not been in vain. You that have been seeking God for a great move in your church, it's going to happen. It may happen through the healing of a child. It may happen in the church when God raises the dead. It may happen when an individual comes to the audience with epilepsy and God heals them and they never have another seizure. But God's going to bring a revival to Glad Tidings Church. I said, God's going to bring revival to Glad Tidings Church.
Well, Brother Walker, I tell you what, Brother Walker, we've been going down to Pensacola, hallelujah. We don't need what they've got in Pensacola. And you can't bring Pensacola revival to Houston, honey. It won't work. We need a God-ordained, sanctified, delivered revival direct from glory called Glad Tidings.
Man, that's good preaching for a young man. Think what I'll be in when I get the age of your pastor. That's the kind of revival we need. Say amen. That's the kind of revival we need. The kind of revival God said, all right, they prayed long enough, they believed long enough, they've labored long enough, therefore it is time for me to feed the sheep, and they'll know me, my voice, they'll come to me, and they shall be redeemed, not by power nor might, but by the blood of the Lamb. Sin revival. I was looking at a letter. I was cleaning out my attaché case, getting ready to go to Africa. And I found a letter from Brother Trask. Do you know Brother Trask? Oh, the greatest guy. God, I don't know what, he is just one of the most wonderful men. And he's the big daddy rabbit of the Assemblies of God Church. He's the Pope in the Vatican in Springfield. And he wrote me this letter. And he said to me, Jeremy, and I could hear him saying it to me while I was reading it. I could hear his voice. He said, I beg you to help me fan the flame of the church. We need folks to fan the flame. It's here. Now then, I'm not a prophet, as I already told you that, so I got that clear. Praying the other day, I've got news for you. It won't be many days till you'll hear about a great revival meeting in Madison Square Garden in New York City. They'll come by the thousands. Clearwater, Florida is probably the deadest place in the world. Everybody there is old and worn out. It's a retirement village for the dead. Undertakers do more business in that one area than any other place in America. They come down there to die. A preacher named W.V. Grant, a preaching piece of machinery, went down for a Sunday night service in Clearwater, and now he's in his 19th week. And they've got wheelchairs lined up like a train, the people coming out of wheelchairs. And I know the person that prayed so long was a little old lady. Her name is Kennedy. Her son pastors a church in Seminole, Florida, Rodney Kennedy. And that revival is sweeping that area. But hear me, Madison Square Garden, you watch it. You're going to hear about a revival. God's Spirit has tried to move at Lakewood. And we've talked about this. This is not gossip. But for some reason, our city is so frightened to have anything that they can't control. Oh, I heard somebody say, that's good preaching. My God, have mercy, sister. May God prosper you and give you the desires of your heart. But we can't control God. God must control us. But as I came through that portiche, you better get some shouting shoes ready. Because God's going to send a revival. This man's not here passing time just to be your pastor. You don't pay him enough for that. This young man is hungry because he was raised like I was raised out in the part of the world where we had church. You remember when I was Brother Noah's church for, well, I've been there 8 times. We had church. Last Friday, I met with the Macduff brothers for the groundbreaking of their new old folks home out in Sugar Land, and it was such a marvel. And one of the brothers said to me, Brother Walker, do you remember at Oak Cliff Assembly, my son was on the platform of slaying the spirit, and he's never been the same since. That's what we need in Houston. And God's going to bring it as sure as I'm wearing a mafia suit. And a mafia member paid for it. But I got news for you. We're hungry. We're hungry. Papa, I don't know you, but I like you. You're all right. But Mama, you've been praying. For a move of the Spirit. And Mama, as sure as I stand in front of you, you'll see it. For the Lord called your number to bring you to glory. God's going to send revival. God's going to send revival. Sister, you have been so hungry recently for the spiritual things of God. And God's going to conquer that hunger by feeding you manna from heaven. Don't be surprised if God sends an angel into your kitchen area and gives you a personal visitation. Sir, she will not be crazy as you think she would be, because she's not given to things that are not real. But God's going to give you a visitation. Young man back here, sitting by that good-looking blonde, that's a miracle right there. But young man, what you've never seen, you're going to see. And God's not going to begin it in somebody else. He's going to begin it in you. And sweet little wife, you're going to wonder what's wrong with him. But if you'll tell the truth, before you ever got him, you prayed for God to give you a man that would be spiritual. Yep, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. How long have you been having this problem in your body? It's not getting any better, is it? Been discouraged about it, haven't you, darling? I love you. You're sweet. Have you noticed recently, sometime in the mornings when you first get up, that you're just almost... In fact, you'd just rather sit back and go right back to bed, because life is just not there. Have you had any swelling? Have you felt poofy in your body? I mean, you feel like you're full or something. Yeah, I thought so. You ready? She has Jesus in her, brother. Spirit, my sweet little friend. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't that sweet, Mama? That's the Holy Ghost, sugar. That's the Holy Ghost. Don't you like it? Wonderful. Have you told God these words? God, I need healing, a touch in my body. But it'll have to be in your time and not mine. That's the way you said it, more or less around the way to God. God, I'm not going to push you about it, but you know my need. Is that what you told him? Are you ready? Spirit. There it was right there. God, the infirmity is over. And she is made perfectly, every whit whole. And she shall sleep all night long. In the morning she'll be so rested. For God, sometime during the nights, I see her sitting up, not finding rest. But it shall be no more, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and praise him, honey. We're Pentecostal. It's all right. Where is the person that has had such a binding in your back? It's like your back wants to catch. And you move to the right, and it's like a rib is pushing through the spinal area. Where are you? It's you, Pastor? Well, come here, Bubba. Man, that hurts. Ooh. It's like that rib slips out and it goes right into your spine. Ooh. Saints, this man suffered. I believe God can heal him. Spirit, this is my brother. And I love him. And God, he does not need this problem with his back. It's caused numbness in his leg. God, at times it felt a thousand little ants were on the bottom of his foot. It's because the nerves are being pinched. But God, that vertebrae that is giving away is now restored and made completely whole. And it's done in Jesus' name. I claim. Where's the person in the audience? It's the funniest thing that God gave me. You have a pain that goes up through your face, like down here on your lip, it goes up into your eye and forward. Where are you? And sometimes it affects your eye. Where are you? There you go. Come here, brother. Brother, I love you. You old rascal. You're looking good for a young boy. You never know you're 60 yet. This way that God gave me, it's the funniest pain. It sort of goes up sort of in that crack right there by your nose, and before you know it, it's right in there. Is that where it is? Uh-huh. But I mean, it starts and it works its way up. Uh-huh. Are you ready? Have you been to the doctor? Uh-huh. The doctor Jesus. Spirit. It's over, brother. You got it. You know how I got it? You know that you got to feel your hand. When God brings healing, your hands always have a perspiration. We had one guy that, I hate to tell this because it really blows my mind, but oil dripped on the floor off his hand. And I'd never seen that before. I've been critical of it because I am so straight-laced. Glory. Isn't he sweet? Pastor, come here for a second. Is your wife here tonight? See, I don't know who you stay with. It's been 30 years since I saw that young girl, and 30 years changed girls. Are you the holy mommy? Come here, darling. I want to show you something, and don't be amazed. Just touch Papa's head right there. Just touch it. That's the glory of the Lord came on him. Feel his hands. Just feel, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? And he's not that kind of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Where is the person right over this area that's been fighting real deep depression? Sometimes you just want to stop life and ship out. Where are you? You've been having a lot of trouble with your nerves. You get depressed. Feel like you're the only person in the world that nobody loves. Okay, but there's somebody right in here. Come here, darling. Come here, Sister Blue. Come on, Sister Blue. Where are you? It's a young person. You've been having problems with your nerves and depression. Where are you? Now lose it. Girl, are you ready? I like you. Where do you go to church? Metropolitan. Is that Baptist Holiness or what? Girl. I've been thinking about becoming a Baptist. Because they need some evangelists. And they pay well. You taking medication for this? I know. I didn't want to frighten you because I don't. And you're so beautiful. You have got one thing to worry about. I know you're going to. Probably take over before it's over and own the business. I said that to a black woman one time down in Miami, and bless God, she bought the business.
Where's that person that have trouble with your nerves will be? Where are you? It's a young person. You're going to lose it. And don't come to me after church, because I will not pray for you in the parking lot. I will not pray for you in the lobby of the church. Here's where to be prayed for, right in God's presence. All right, you ready? You're a Baptist. Seemed like I saw that sign coming to church tonight, Metropolitan Baptist Church. That's over there on... I saw it somewhere, didn't I? Am I dreaming? Linda, did I see it? Okay. Are you ready? God, this is a beautiful child. And God, she has suffered with this for so long, but has now come to the place of medication. God, the depression must be in. Is that good? Do you like it? Would you like some more? God, this Baptist wants more. Help her, Jesus, by giving her the joy of her salvation. Oh, let the glory, the power be our potion tonight. I thank you for it. And God, it would be all right if you gave her the Holy Ghost. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Do you feel better? You look bad. Your hands are sweaty. Oh, are they? Well, that's a good sign. I've heard that before. Hallelujah. Where's the person been worrying about? You've been having stress, depression, nerves. Where are you? Where are you? Is that maybe all right? Okay. So it's about, I don't know who it is. There's somebody in this or over here. Y'all been having stress. Where are you? You worrying. Well, why don't you come to Brother Walker? Come on. I won't bite you, and I even smell good. In fact, I'm wearing what Bethel Goodman gave me, and she buys the best. Glory. I like you. Where are you working? You're in school. Are you looking for a job? Uh-huh. Have you sort of given God a qualification of what you want in a job? Y'all been talking it over? But you know with that woman sitting over there by your side, you're going to have a good job. Because their number one ministry is wanting something. And Freddie B. said, amen. Spirit, he's been under pressure in school. His career choice. His decisions have not been made. And he's still trying to make them. But guide and direct him in all of his path. In the glory of the Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. In the glory of the Lord. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? Isn't that good? Oh, that's the Holy Ghost, brother. Glory. Hallelujah. Where is the person that's been having a hurting in your right side? It's underneath your arm and it's almost in your waistline, somewhere right in here. Where are you? You've been having trouble in your right side. Where are you? Don't make me call two or three times. Where are you? I just preached a convention for Benny Hinn in Hawaii in January. And he said, Jerry, you've got a gift that I'd give anything in the world for. I said, you can't have it. I paid a big price for it. I gave my whole life to the Master. And when God gives me something in 44 years, he's never been wrong. Where is the person been having trouble on your right side? Where are you? Pastor, if they don't come, they'll come Monday. Pastor, it was me, but I was scared of him, and I just prayed to get up there. I thought I might fall out or something. I was looking at you, sugar. Come here, baby. Come right here. You ready? How long have you been hurting right there? A lot of times you think it's your heart because Did you ever have a rib damage?
years ago?
Oh, shut your mouth. You mean you fell?
Humpty Dumpty did the same thing one time.
Are you ready? I like you. You're beautiful.
That was 26 years. Did you hear that?
Now, wasn't that sweet? Wasn't that sweet? Wasn't that sweet?
26 years, brother. Check her mailing list in our audience. Please recommend it somewhere.
God.
And God, that place on the side of her lung is no longer there.
You're so sweet. Do you know Aunt Maudine?
Oh, she's my sweetheart. She calls me on the telephone, and she always gives me Godiva chocolate on June the 13th, and I love Aunt Maudine. You know her. Ain't she precious? Oh, she's precious. Precious. Where is the man in the audience that when you put your heel down like you're going to walk, there's a sudden pain that hits you in the heel of your foot? Where are you? God gave it to me while I was holding her hand. You have trouble with your foot. Is it you, sir? Come here, Brother Mustache Tattoo. This is Mustache 1 and you're Mustache 2. He dies, you keep your silver. Glory. I like you.
Ooh. How long have you had that?
About a month. Well, step on it right quick.
Ooh.
That hurts, doesn't it?
What is it?
Are you trying to ride the reins for Jesus?
Uh-huh.
Spur. What'd you call it? A bone spur. Oh, I thought you were talking about wearing spurs. Oh.
Let me ask you a question. In the last several years or months, days, whatever it is, do you ever have any trouble at all with your left ankle? Do you ever feel any weakness in that left foot? How long have you felt that thing in heel? Have you had any trouble with the toe on that foot? Do you have a toe that's hitchhiking? Have you had any trouble with the arch in that foot? Have you injured the foot in any way in the last few years? Sprain an ankle, fall off a horse, step off a curb, kick the devil.
Uh-huh.
Because the Lord's showing me that right in the arch of your foot, there's a bone in the arch that's just barely slipped down and it's causing that pressure on that heel. Are you ready?
I like you. Where do you go to church? Aren't you glad? Don't you have the sweetest pastor? He's got the prettiest wife. I didn't know he had done that well.
If God healed you, will you testify about it? You promise?
Somebody else got trouble with your foot. Where are you?
Your mom. Come here, sweetie.
Just don't leave. I'm letting you soak. I know what I'm doing.
Let me tell her.
You understand English?
Oh, can you interpret for me, brother? I know Gonzalez, Poncho, San Antonio, Chile, Alto. That's all I know. And I love Spanish. I think it's the most beautiful language in the world. Every kid ought to learn how to talk it. Especially when you go to Mama's Cedars or Papa's Cedars, you don't know how to order nothing.
Ask her if she had a hurting right in.
You're beautiful. I just love you.
I bet she can cook. I bet she can make frijoles. Walkie Molly said it.
Can I hug your neck?
God. Touch.
Boom.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
She broke out in goosebumps all over. Woo!
Glory! Somebody say, praise the Lord!
Say, mamacita. Or mama. El Waco. Andale. Girl! Can we talk about it now? Now, she's talking to you to tell me, so tell me. Oh, how's it feel now? Cici Gonzalez.
It's so precious.
Hallelujah. When you have headaches, do you have very severe ones? Have you had sort of a dullness right through here lately? The sinus thing right there, the Lord showed that to me. God, you sure do love God, don't you? Are you a minister? You know what? You've got the greatest calling of anybody on earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Savi. The greatest calling in the earth is not to be a pastor of Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church. The greatest calling on earth is not to be an evangelist like Jerry B. Walker. The greatest calling, and I've told my two boys this more times than once. I said, boys, if I could call you to anything in the ministry, I would never call you in the ministry. But I'd call you to be a preacher's friend. That's what you are. You're a pastor's friend. Oh, si, pastor, el reverendo. Yes. That's right. See, that's your calling. That's your calling. You sure raised a sweet baby. Well, what do they call them, little babies? You feel anything yet? Well, just stand and soak. Spirit, I'm believing right now. And God, I remember the day I stood in the hospital room and the doctor said she will not last till midnight. And you healed her, brought her out. That's been many years ago. God, restore that limb and make it strong, that ankle, where it'll not falter either right or left. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Glory. Are you ready, brother? Could I have a volunteer, please, to come help me? Freddie B. Jr. This is my nephew. I raised him. I used to remember when he wore diapers. Ruined one of my good suits on a Sunday morning. I want you to kneel down and put your hand on that foot. Now, Freddie B., on the back of it, on the heel, that right there, son. Father, my brother has suffered with this for the last moment, and he's tired of it. And right now, by the power of the Holy... There it goes. Spirit, it's gone. In Jesus' name. Sir, you're getting drunk on the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good? Do you like it? Would you want some more? God, give you another dip. Glory! Glory. Brother Moses, come stand behind him really quickly. Hallelujah. Just stand behind him. He's never gotten to see. He's getting drunk on the Spirit, and I don't know what you've got. Son, I've got to watch him. Now, he's soaking. See, I let him soak about 5 minutes, Moses. Now, you just stand there and help him. Don't leave him now, Moses. Where is the person in the audience that's been having trouble in the roof of your mouth? I don't know if it's... I don't want to... You've been having trouble in the roof of your mouth? I don't know if it's a tooth that's out of whack or what. But you've suffered with the roof of your... I don't know if it gets raw, infected, what it is. Who are you that's been having trouble with the roof of your mouth?
you can tell you're not used to a preacher coming praying for the sick this way, and that's all right. That's no. Where are you? You've been having trouble in the roof of your mouth. Is it you, sister? Or no, you're just praising the Lord. And, oh, you like that? Hug Moses' neck right there. Just tell him you love Moses. Tell him. Brother, I love you. I've not seen you in so long. Oh, it's been a long time. Are you ready? How long have you been having this? What is it? Uh-huh, it's raw. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Several years ago, did God give you a definite miracle that you would stand in front of a firing squad and still testify that you had a miracle of healing? You remember? Of course, when you get 50, you start forgetting. That's when you... Yeah, a couple of times, I know. You know, when you get 50, you save newspapers, rubber bands, and have more than one pot plant. Anytime you got pot plants, it won't be long till y'all ship out. We're going to have to send you up to Austin. Are you ready?
Spirit.
Everybody bow your heads for a second. Isn't God good? God's given me one more that I must call before we pray. Where is the person in the audience that it feels like when you lay down at night that your stomach starts growling and just gets in knots, and you can feel it as you lay down, you can just feel your stomach all... Where are you? You've been having trouble with it. Where are you? Brother Mustache 3? Come here. This is Mustache Night at Glad Tidings. Have you had any pressure right under the rib, right?
Press there. Under the rib, under the rib cage. Press along, all along there. There's a little bit of soreness right there. I thought so.
Are you ready? I like you. Where do you go to church? Oh, I know about Faith Assembly. I've been there 100 times. Did you have an injury or? It is, uh-huh. At nighttime, you feel like all your food is backing out and going to come out of your mouth while you're trying to sleep. Mm-hmm. I know it's it. God's never made a mistake in 44 years with me. Are you ready? Brother Freddie B. Jr. God may perform surgery. You know, when I first started to preach, my parents hired a man and wife to travel with me I was so young, they were afraid I'd be kidnapped or something. And they couldn't figure out why people were always falling out in my meetings. Kathleen Kuhlman said to me one time, she said, "Brother Walker, it was so funny. They was all talking here in New York today about when you got in the elevator, and everybody in the elevator was slaying the spirit except you." And that was the truth that happened. Everybody in the elevator is in the floor. I went on to my room, thank God, without them. And I don't understand being slain the spirit, but you better not